really interesting things are happening in Europe, so we are going back there. And remember, this is not about Ukraine or Russia. This is two very distant countries, very important countries in Europe, very distant from the battlefield in Ukraine right now. So one is Italy, that is one end of Europe, look at the map of Europe, and the other is Sweden up north. In both these countries, the right has won the national elections. In Italy, it's a right, it's a coalition of really far right parties. In Sweden, it's not that much far right, but these are still parties of the right. And Sweden is a country which is seen to be the ideal socialist state, the socialist utopia. And there also, nationalists of the right have come to power. Now, in both these countries, some of the motivations are similar. But you know what? Because Italy is more important in Europe, it's a bigger country, it's a country of 6 crore population. And by the way, not a poor country. A country with a lot of economic grievances, where citizens have a lot of economic grievances. But remember, a country of 6 crores, a large country by European standards, has a per capita income on a nominal basis of nearly $35,000. That is 17 times as high as India. And yet its citizens have many economic grievances, as they have in even richer countries like America or many of the others. Keep Qatar out, because citizens can't have grievances, I suppose, in that country. So there, a really far-right coalition has come into power. And that's what is drawing the most focus in the global discussions right now. Because the winner there, the leader most likely to become the premier there, Italy has a complex system. It has a president who's elected through a secretive manner, but really does not have executive powers, although the president might have some say or some powers in finally deciding on the prime minister, who will be chosen by the elected house. Prime minister is not chosen directly there, but it's pretty much understood now that a 45-year-old woman called Giorgia Meloni will be the prime minister of Italy. She is a populist of the hard right, who has basically successfully been able to ride identity politics to win. Now, how does the right work? How does the politics of the right work in many of these Western or developed democracies? Usually, it's done not by playing so much on economic grievances, but by playing on culture, religion, identity. So she has also done just that. In fact, if you listen to her speeches, and I see many of her speeches, particularly beginning in 2018, 19, 2019 in particular, there was a speech of hers that went viral all over the world and scared a lot of people, because people thought now the descendants of Mussolini were really coming back in Italy. Now her party, which is Fratelli d'Italia, this means literally Brothers of Italy. This party owes its roots to the followers of Mussolini after the Second World War. So many of them set up some kind of political groups that faded away because fascism was in such bad odor, but some survived. So even in her party now, she has two direct descendants from Mussolini's family. She herself has spoken with adulation about Mussolini. In fact, there is a video of hers at the age of 19, that was 26 years ago, at the age of 19, saying Mussolini was a good man, he did a lot of things right for Italy. Now, for an Italian to say so 26 years ago would have meant something very, very radical at that point and very controversial. She has cleaned up her act to a great extent. Now, she hasn't been praising Mussolini for a long time. She's also on record as having said that the Italian right has now dumped fascism decisively and forever. She's also taken a position now in support of Ukraine. But if you look at all the observers, the analysts who I read, it's generally believed that the coalition that she's leading, coalition essentially of three parties, her party, then Matteo Salvini's Northern League, and also Silvio Berlusconi, he's still around at 85. Silvio Berlusconi, formerly three times prime minister, his party, which is Forza Italia, which means Go Italia. He also owns a big football club, a big media empire. He's been convicted for tax fraud. He's faced charges of seeking sexual favors from a minor, etc., etc. He's at 85. He's in this coalition as well. But what is this leader? What is Giorgia Meloni all about? So I can do no better than read from one of her speeches, one of her celebrated speeches. In fact, that speech, because all these populist leaders say stuff that goes into populist folklore. So that speech has also become a very popular internet meme set to a pop music tune. Now, what is she saying? I'm just reading the translations, and I will run some of these screenshots from this speech. We are not running the full speech because we don't know if we have the right to it. Is it copyrighted or not? And you know what? We are a very decent publishing organization. We shall never publish unless we are sure that this is something that we have the rights to publish. So what we'll do is I'll use screenshots from this speech with English translations, and I'll read this out to you so you get an idea of the kind of leader that has now emerged in Italy, which is one of the largest countries in Europe. So this is what I'm reading as the English translation of Giorgia Meloni's speech, her famous speech. So I quote, this is what we are doing here today. She says, why is the family an enemy? Why is the family so frightening? There is a single answer to all these questions, because it defines us. She says the tone is pure populism, pure right-wing nationalist populism, because it defines us, because it is our identity. So it starts with saying family is our identity, and then it leads to other things. So she says again, I quote again, because anything that defines us is an enemy for those who would like us to no longer have an identity. I told you her campaign is about identity, about who we are, or to simply be consumer slaves, that people who don't like us want us to be just consumer slaves. And that's where you see the right in Europe, large parts of Europe, is going away from being essentially pro-market, not in the Thatcher, Reagan sense. This is nationalism of the right. So she says, our opponents want us to be just consumer slaves. And so they attack national identity. So from family, she's now come to nationalism. And so they attack national identity. They attack our religious identity. Family, nation, religion. So they attack our religious identity. They attack gender identity. Now gender as well. They attack family identity. So that completes the circle. Family, nation, religion, gender, and back to family, right? The circle is completed. And then she says, in the true rabble-rousing manner, here I am. I can't even define myself as an Italian, as a Christian, as a woman, as a mother. And then she says she will not put up with it. She says she won't put up with it. And obviously, it's a call to her followers that they should not put up with it. And the call is, will you put up with it? And obviously, her audience are saying no, they will not put up with it, which means they are buying into the set of grievances that she's listing for them. And then she goes on to say that our opponents, that is the liberal side, our opponents demand that we must be citizen number this, gender number this, parent number one, parent number two, I must be just a number. Because when I'm only a number, when I no longer have identity or roots, then I will be perfect slave of at the mercy of financial speculators, the perfect consumer. That's why we inspire so much fear amongst our rivals. We do not accept becoming a number. See, once again, what is this idea about we do not accept becoming a number? This is about identity. So she goes on, this is about identity, which is her call to the voters. That is a populist appeal, populist, nationalist, right-wing, Christian appeal. Because each one of us is a unique genetic code, she says, which is unrepeatable. Now, that's not something you can question. Each one of us is indeed a unique genetic code, which is unrepeatable. And she says, and like it or not, and I'm quoting again, and like it or not, it is sacred. We will defend it. We will defend God, country and family. So once again, the same circle, even the DNA, even the genetic code is part of the same circle: family, religion, nationality, identity, gender. And yet again, like a true populist, she says, we will never be slaves, and invokes G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton, who's known for his quotable quote from more than a century ago. He was also called the Prince of Paradox. She quotes Chesterton as saying, Chesterton wrote more than a century ago, she says, fires will be kindled to prove that 2 + 2 make 4. Swords will be drawn to prove leaves are green in summer. That time has arrived. See, what is the polemicist saying? She's saying that what we are saying is the absolute truth. Those who disagree with us deny this truth. So even if you have to take out the swords, light fires, that time has arrived. Do that, because our truth must prevail. That is classical right-wing nationalist religious populism. That has won in Italy. And all the commentary now tells us that this is the farthest Italy has gone right. This is Italy's government of the farthest right since the fall of Mussolini. And if you see other statements by Giorgia Meloni, including her long interview with the Washington Post, of which I will share a link with you, you can read it. She says she stands for protecting traditional social values, traditional as she defines it, and close off all the entry points to what she describes as undocumented immigrants. And to protect Italy from obscure bureaucrats of Brussels, which means even as Italy is part of the European Union, does not want to be part of the discipline, particularly fiscal discipline, that is enforced or that is prescribed by Brussels. Brussels is the headquarters of Europe. And so a lot of the populist right in Europe dismisses those in charge at Brussels as the bureaucratic elites of Brussels. Now, that might also be a sideways comment on her predecessor, that is Mario Draghi, who is a former central banker, a technocrat, and was at Brussels and actually saved European Union or European group Eurozone from many financial and fiscal crises. So in this case, Italy is now joining two other European nations, two other EU members and NATO members, who've also gone to elected governments of the hard nationalist right. That is Poland and, more importantly, Hungary, which borders on the dictatorial. Now, Italy has had many problems. It doesn't mean this government comes in and this government will be there forever and then they'll change the world. Governments in Italy don't last a long time. In the past 20 years, Italy has had 11 governments. 11 governments in 20 years, and in the past 76 years, Italy has had 67 cabinets. So Italy has a lot of instability and a lot of coalition governments. In fact, there was a time when Rajiv Gandhi, in power, faced by opposition attacks, fended them off by saying, all these opposition guys will come together, form a coalition. A coalition cannot survive in India. This is nonsensical. How can they threaten me with a coalition? No coalition can replace the Congress party in India, because no country can be governed by a coalition government well enough. And George Fernandes, late George Fernandes then, as a counter, had said famously, look, if coalitions can work in mother-in-law's country, why can't they work in India? That was a reference to Italy, because Italy always had coalitions. So 11 governments in 20 years and 67 cabinets in 76 years. Now, Italy has a very complex electoral system also. How complex it is, I will not repeat it here because it will go too long. Also, it will be repetitive because you've heard this before, pretty much this in an earlier Cut the Clutter on German elections. So these are European countries. Some countries have first past the post system. That's India. So whoever gets the most votes wins a seat. Whoever gets more seats elects the prime minister. Some countries have proportionate system, as say in Israel. So every party gets its votes and then they divide based on those votes, who gets how many seats. And some countries, especially in Europe, Germany, as well as Italy, they have a mixed system. So a percentage of seats are directly elected. Those are first past the post. And the rest are allocated on the basis of your vote percentages. How many votes have you got? So in Italy, about 1/3 are directly elected. first past the post, and two-thirds are then based on your proportionate votes. Now, Italian voters, again, I read stories in Western media, so I read this story in the Washington Post, a detailed story on the election day, and the reporter says Italian politics is very complex and cluttered. And she says, look, Italian voters, as you talk to them, as they come out of polling booths, they are not divided with clean divisions of left and right. On the other hand, the reporter says, they look like as if each comes with their own narrative about the ills of the country. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of our own state of Bihar. You stand outside a polling booth in Bihar, you talk to people, each one will have an individual, well-argued theory on what is wrong with their state, with the country, and what needs to be done to fix it. So that is how I see this description of the Italian voter. And that might be the reason why it has so many governments. Because soon enough, partners in coalitions start fighting. They start fighting, they fall apart. Even with this coalition, problems will come up. Problems will come up over Putin, for example. Now, Matteo Salvini, who's the second largest partner in this coalition, he's worn a Putin t-shirt in the past. He's praised Putin in the past. Silvio Berlusconi, who was so buddy with Putin that he gifted him a duvet with an embroidery or maybe a painting of two men shaking hands. So my bro, here is a duvet for you. He also said fairly recently that Putin has done nothing wrong by invading Ukraine. He's not trying to take over Ukraine. He's just trying to install in power some decent people in place of Zelensky. Italy is so used to coalitions that in the past, before the outgoing government of Mario Draghi, they had Giuseppe Conte, whose government was a coalition of the left, right and center. They were all together, and now Conte it was who withdrew support to Mario Draghi, because two times in the recent years they were able to avoid fresh elections, a fall of the government and fresh elections, by making deals amongst themselves, which might have also given more fuel to these populists of the nationalist right. Now, this government, if you see Giorgia Meloni's statements in the recent past, she's against LGBTQ lobbies, as she calls them. She's also against what is Islamist violence, and also very opposed to open immigration. Now, look at Italy. See where Italy is positioned. See where the Mediterranean is, where Italy is. It's caught between Africa and say the Balkans, and it's been receiving refugees from both sides, because the Balkan region has its own trouble after the many wars in the Balkan areas, and also in Africa, particularly from the Libyan zone. They've been refugees coming in, refugees, immigrants who've been settling down. So now in all of Europe, there is growing impatience with immigrants and refugees. And that is what is also driving this new mood. That particularly is the reason why the right has now won an unlikely victory in Sweden. Until some time back, it looked like the Social Democrats in Sweden had once again left the right behind us. So there are Swedish Democrats and Social Democrats, SD, right? It's a bit confusing, so I'm not going there. Otherwise, I'll get you more cluttered. But the fact is that the left alliance, which was ruling in Sweden, has gone out of power. They've got 173 seats. The alliance of the right and center-right parties, they've got 176 seats. There's a margin of 3. It's a house of 349. So 176 plus 173 is 349. So the government that was there has peacefully given up power, although the difference was only 3. Nobody has tried to organize any defections, and I suppose recourse to ED, CBI, CBDT, etc. is not available there. So the government has gone out because it lost by a margin of 3, and a new government is coming in. It's a government of the right. Now, what will change there, and why did that government come into power? What is the similarity between the Italian and the Swedish situation, and what might be some differences? So similarity is the same. The similarity again is identity. Because again, Swedes worry. Swedes have had a very liberal asylum policy in the past. Very, very liberal. It's almost as if anybody who comes in can't be denied asylum. Then Afghanistan crisis started in 2001, December 2001, November, December 2001, after 9/11 in September 2001. After that, American invasion of Iraq took place. Then came the Arab Spring. So in three waves, a lot of refugees from Islamic countries came into Europe, particularly to Scandinavian countries, and a lot of them came to Sweden. So today, Sweden is a country with a small population. Although it's a big Scandinavian country by their standards, but it's just about 1 crore of people. There, almost 20% are now immigrants, and a lot of them from Muslim countries, from broken Muslim countries. Those communities have got ghettoized, and that is causing a problem. So for more details, I'm sharing with you an article by Paulina Newding from commonsense.news. Please see that. That tells you that Sweden, and this is something that we find it difficult to imagine, Sweden has had, over the past year, they've averaged two explosions, two bombings per day, or two bombings per night. And that, as you would imagine, has caused a fair bit of concern in Sweden. Besides, there are other issues. Everybody is hurting after the pandemic, etc., etc. And that's why all that has combined to give the right an unlikely victory in Sweden as well. So once again, go back to this situation. Two major countries, two important countries. Sweden also is a country that just applied to go to NATO, and that process has gone quite far. Two major European countries have had really substantive change, not just changes of government, but they've now got governments of ideologies of hard right. In Italy, definitely much harder than in Sweden as well. But then Sweden is Sweden. It was always known to be a socialist utopia.